Thank you. You may be seated. Glad to have. Do you have my message? Yeah. It's good to have a good friend of mine. Actually, a couple of them here today. Listen, I'll wait. I don't want to interrupt. Good to have Corey and Marcy Nelson here this morning. I went to school together, and as we went to school together, I remember several occasions where your family was a tremendous blessing to me personally, and I appreciate your friendship through the years. To me, it's good to have friends that have stuck through the difficult times, and they're still serving the Lord faithfully. I'm glad to see you here, glad your daughter's here, and thank you for your faithfulness, thank you for your friendship through the years, and I was hoping you brought a message, or Evan did, because he wanted to stand for a long time, so... Also good to have brother on both sides. Good to have brother Brian Miller here as well. And if you have your Bibles, would you look with me to one passage this morning? Good song. I hope you put that song to heart. Good to have brother Lang here. Thanks for being here. Looking forward to Daniel in the near future getting in the mission field, and I pray for him regularly. And every time David Lang's name was mentioned in chapel, everybody started shouting again. I'm like, okay, stop. And we're honored to have you. Okay, that's enough. But I'm glad you're here this morning. The problem is sometimes we do worry. Some of you are worried right now about what the announcement. I was like, can we wait for like the announcement about school bill till after chapel? Like, can we not put it? Can we just save that for some other time? Stay with me here. Exactly. I don't know what just got said, and it's probably good I don't know what just got said. Psalm 118, one verse, and I'll jump into it. Thank you, Brother John, for your investment in my life 25 years ago, and I appreciate you, your help in so many different areas, and then your encouragement when we were missionaries, and since I've been back, I appreciate your friendship. Thanks for staying faithful to the Lord. I think one day you'll figure out, as people that have either mentored you or helped you or people that have worked alongside of you in the ministry, you're just thankful that you're both still in it. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. Psalm 118, verse number 24 says this. Would you read it with me? It says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." We'll read it one more time. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I'm going to speak on this subject this morning. 3 days in which every Christian should rejoice. 3 days in which every Christian should rejoice. Father, I need you this morning. Speak through me. Use me like only you can, Father. And Lord, help me to get out of the way. Lord, I know this has been a busy week and we're going into the weekend. Help us to remain faithful to you today, tomorrow, in the near future, Father. And then farther along, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us and direct us, help any decisions that need to be made today in chapel to be made. And then as Brother Brown preached yesterday, help us to have ears to hear that it wouldn't just be a decision that's made, but help us to follow through with that decision. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to come back to this verse in just a little bit here. But I think there's a lot of days in which we could rejoice. We could rejoice in things like called snow days. And of course, I called it, since it was Brother Joe Woosley's birthday, I called it Brother Joe's Day, and he appreciated that, and then didn't respond to my text, but I think later on did, so I appreciate your help there. He said he didn't know it was my number. Yeah, okay. But I appreciate his help there. I think graduating from high school is a pretty important day. I think going on a first date is a pretty big date. By the way, guys, ask her. I think having a big day on a bus route's an important day. I think graduating from college is an important day. We could rejoice in all of those days, but I've got 3 days that I want to mention this morning. The first day in which every Christian should rejoice is the day of salvation. I think sometimes we get excited about somebody else getting saved, but we don't revel in our own salvation. See, for me, it was 39 years ago. Raleigh, North Carolina. Stop it already. Raleigh, North Carolina. My grandfather was rushed to the hospital one evening, and I had no idea whether he was going to make it or not. I began to ask my dad some questions. I'm going to ask mom and dad, I said, hey, if grandpa dies, what's going to happen next? And they said, he's going to heaven. I'll never forget asking mom and dad, can I go to heaven? And I'm so glad, though my dad's never been in full-time Christian service, and though my dad's never necessarily preached a message, he's taught some Sunday school lessons, but he's just been a full-time Christian. And I'm glad when I asked my dad, I said, Dad, can I know for sure? My dad brought in the family Bible. I was a little nervous. I thought we'd be there for a while. He began to show me. I don't remember which passages he showed me. I'm not sure how long we were there, but I could show you if I brought you this morning to 3809 Sue Ellen Drive in Raleigh, North Carolina. I could bring you up to the second floor of where my parents' bedroom was. And I could show you the day where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've not gotten over that day yet. I hope I never get over that day. But I'm afraid a lot of Christians have and a lot of Christians do. Look at the first day that every Christian should rejoice is the day of salvation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, please. Acts 16, verses 31 to 34. Acts 16, verses 31 to 34. Just one example here this morning, and then we'll move on. Acts 16, verses 31 down through verse 34 says, I'll start reading. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. That's a good time right there. And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I look at the Philippian jailer who almost contemplated, or at least contemplated, he didn't do it, but he contemplated suicide, thinking that maybe they're going to kill me some other way. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. He said, we're all here. And then because of that, because in a difficult situation, because when Paul and Silas were at midnight, they sang and they praised the Lord, and they were the right type of Christian. They rejoiced in their salvation. The Philippian jailer decided that he needed salvation. I've gone swimming in the crystal water of Aruba, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've seen the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've eaten a 7-course meal by the Indian Ocean, which I only finished about maybe a third of or fourth of that meal, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've gone down to parts of the Amazon River, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've walked beside Niagara Falls, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've been window shopping at the oldest active shopping mall in Milan, Italy, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I went on a one-day African safari in Chobe National Park in Botswana and saw rhinos and elephants and buffaloes and hippos and even lions, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. In fact, I thought that was going to be my last day of being saved. I'll never forget going through Chobe National Park, and a man from Botswana said, hey, what animals do you want to see? And we all kind of in unison, we just kind of threw it out there. Hey, we'd like to see the lions. Not that any of us wanted to see lions real close, but it sounded good. And I remember he said, well, I'm going to have to go faster than I normally do. And I said, well, none of us cared. There were some people from Australia. There was a pastor from Kentucky there. There were a couple of college students that were there. Charles Newton was on that trip, and he's heading to the mission field on deputation right now. A few other people in that trip. But I remember he said, we're almost there. He said, I saw them feeding just a little while ago. He said, we're almost there. And I'll never forget pulling up. And from about here to the piano, we saw 9 lions. And I remember sitting there, and we had several questions. My first question was, is this okay? Like, have you done this before? Like, is this your first day on the job? I didn't want him to say, I'm learning how to do this job. Like, this is not the day where I wanted somebody to mess up on their job. And I asked him, I said, as I'm sitting here, what causes them not to attack the vehicle? He says, they're used to the vehicles. He said, they see the vehicles day in and day out. They won't mess with the vehicles. But if anybody gets out of the vehicle, he said, they become lunch. And I said, has that happened before? And he changed the subject. So I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I was glad to be sitting in the middle because I thought, man, I can push the other two guys. You know, there are other options here. One was a college student, and please forgive me, Lord, but let's move on here. That was my motto that day. I've been at an altitude around 14,000 feet in the Rocky Mountains, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've been to Nassau, Bahamas, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've taken pictures of Big Ben in London, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've hand-fed giraffes in Kenya, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've traveled on a train in Europe that went just under 200 miles per hour, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've eaten fish and chips in England. I've eaten guinea pig in Peru. I've eaten fufu in Ghana. I've eaten pierogies in Poland. I've eaten ugali in Tanzania. I've eaten game meat in Botswana. I've eaten nshima in Zambia. I've eaten ceviche in Peru. I've eaten bratwurst and sauerkraut in Germany. I've eaten pizza and spaghetti in Italy. I've eaten macaroons, baguettes, crepes in France. I've eaten biscuits and gravy down in the south. I've eaten shepherd's pie down up in the north. I figured the amens were coming, but I thought it was going to come because of Jesus. Let's move on here. Come on now. But I'm from down south, so I'm okay. I just lost more than half the crowd. Okay. I've eaten Philly cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. I've eaten brisket in Texas. I've eaten tacos al pastor in Mexico. But none of that compared to the joy of getting saved. I've seen the Mona Lisa in person, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've ridden Space Mountain, gone down Splash Mountain, ridden Thunder Mountain at Disney World, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've sung on the radio in Curacao, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've been to the Statue of Liberty, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've seen Victoria Falls in Zambia, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've been on a TV promotion in Tanzania, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've flown over the Swiss Alps in Switzerland, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've seen the tallest tower in the world, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've stood on the Ecuador there in Kenya. Oh, excuse me, not Ecuador. That's another country. And sorry about that. Some of you are like, Ecuador in Kenya? Hold on a second. I've been to the equator in Kenya, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. I've gone up to the top of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France, but it didn't compare to the joy of getting saved. So why do you give all those illustrations? By the way, it took a little while to write all those things down and think through them. The reason why I state that is because there's a lot of people that are wanting to do something in life, like I just mentioned. And by the way, much of that was not planned. But as I've walked along with the Lord and just kind of held his hand, he said, would you like to see this? And he showed it to me. And I walked a little bit farther with the Lord. He said, would you like to eat this? And in some cases I said no, and I still ate it. Okay, he still gave it to me whether I wanted it or not. But I held his hand. Stay with me here. You're in for the ride of your life. There are some of you deciding right now, man, should I pay my school bill this Monday or should I just go home? Stay with me here. Stay with me. It may be the will of God for your life, maybe a little different than somebody else's will of God in this room this morning. But I plead with you. I beg you, before you decide what the will of God is for your life, make sure you think about the people that you could reach one day that you might not reach because it's challenging right now. But I serve a God who's rarely early, but he's never late. He's never been late in my life. He's never failed me. He's never forsaken me. He's never left me alone. He's my refuge. He's my high tower. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. And he's your God too. The first thing you should think about this morning is, man, I'm saved. So I haven't thought about it a whole lot. You ought to think about the millions upon millions who've never heard the name Jesus. The millions upon millions that would love to have a tract in their language. They'd love to have a New Testament in their language. They'd love to have a Bible in their language. And you've got it all, and I've got it all. What are we doing with it this morning? 2 Samuel 22:3 says, 2 Samuel 22:47 says this, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my, the rock of my salvation. Psalm 18, you'll just have to write down the verses. I'm going to move quickly here. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 18:46, the Lord liveth. Did you hear that this morning? The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. So, by the way, I love that song, How Great Thou Art. My favorite song. We might as well sing it now. We might as well enjoy it in chapel because one day we'll sing it. to him face to face. And we'll just, I don't think there'll be a dry eye. I know that for some reason God tells us he's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes. So if he had to wipe away the tears from our eyes, that means there had to be tears there. And I think when we see him face to face, we'll not be able to believe it, that we're finally there. The person we've prayed to, the person we've loved, the person who's been there for us, the person that's never left us or forsaken us. Psalm 20, verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. John 10, 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We have the abundant life as Christians this morning. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah, which means think on these things. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. I think about Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. Acts 4, 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 13, 47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Romans 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Titus 2, 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hebrews 2, 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So I think we ought to think about, first of all, the first day we should think about is the day of our salvation. Let me ask you a question this morning. I would have had a really hard time Sunday morning when Brother Brown preached if I wasn't saved. If you're here today, and again, I'm not sure why the Holy Spirit had me stop here just for a moment. I'll stop and I'll move on as quickly as he'll allow me to. But if you're here at Howells Anderson College and you're learning from Systematic Theology 1, 2, and 3, and you're learning music classes and English classes and math classes and science classes and missions classes, you're learning all of that, I plead with you, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, get saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, while you go out, do what you can for the cause of Christ. If you get a chance today, pass out a tract. But tell somebody about the day you got saved. Not only should we rejoice over the day we got saved, but the second day we should rejoice in is today. You say, man, why did you choose today? Some of you might think, man, what's so special about today? Okay, it's Friday. But if I would have preached on Tuesday, I would have said today. It would have still been my second point. And guess what? I know we don't have chapel on Mondays, but if it would have been a special chapel service on Monday, I would have still said, let's rejoice in today. Because a lot of people don't like Mondays. The problem is Monday is 1/7 of your life. So I just decided a long time ago that I was going to tell everybody I find on Monday, happy Monday. I'm not always feeling it, but by the time I tell 20 people and they tell it back to me, then I feel like maybe I should have a happy Monday then. But let's move on. So we talk about today. I'm afraid there's a concern that there's a lot of people that are scared, they're nervous, they're afraid, they're maybe in the song, they're worried. But the Bible says, if you'll go back to the text verse or just allow me to read it, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So the first day we should rejoice in is the day of our salvation. For a moment, would you just go back to that day and thank the Lord for the day that he saved you? Because see, he didn't have to. That soul winner didn't have to knock on the door. That parent didn't have to talk with you. That bus captain didn't have to come by. That pastor didn't have to preach that message. That youth pastor didn't have to have that youth activity. But they decided to have it because they knew you needed the gospel. The second day is today. C.T. Studd, missionary to China, Africa, and India, said this, only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I was looking on social media briefly last night, and in the first five posts that I read, I read that a sister had passed away, I read that a dad had passed away, and I read that an uncle had passed away. The first three out of the first five posts that I read, that's where I stopped, and I turned off social media, and I thought, man, they don't have today anymore. Because see, sometimes we waste a day, don't we? Sometimes we do things that are unimportant in a day. But the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You say, well, what can I do today? I'm glad you asked. Because I can't do anything about yesterday. And tomorrow hasn't come yet. So what can I do? Number one, you can love God. You can love God. Because see, we all say we love God. But I think sometimes when I tell God, hey, I love you, I think I can almost hear God say, really? I can almost hear God say, tell me how. Because it's real easy. Sometimes I give God lip service. I'm sure you've never done that, but I've done that before. Man, I love you, Lord. And it gets real quiet. It's almost like God's trying to, not that he needs to think about what to say, but maybe he's not ready. Maybe I'm not ready to hear what he has to say. But first of all, we should love God. Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Number one, we should love God. What else can we do today? Number two, we can love others. Help me out now. We can love others. Mark chapter 12, verse number 31 says, and the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You know what you should do today? You should not only love God, but you should love your neighbor. How about loving your roommate? How about loving the person down the door floor? How about loving your route enough? How about loving the streets and the area there? How about loving those families? How about loving your neighbors? How about knocking on the doors and witnessing to people? Number one, love God. Number two, love others. Number three, go soul winning. Go soul winning. After going soul winning now for, oh man, it's been probably 36 years. After going soul winning for 36 years, I'm not always feeling it. I don't always want to listen to the Holy Spirit, but I'm always glad that I did. I'm always glad that I knocked on the door recently. I was knocking on doors on a Saturday, and I try to do it other times if God will allow me to do so. And I was knocking on the door, talked to a guy by the name of AJ, trusting in his works. First thing I asked him, I said, hey, AJ, I said, if you were to die today, where would you go? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, man, that's awesome. I said, give me a high five. And I said, nope, social distancing. We just kind of laughed about it. I still have my mask on, trying to see if he could hear me with my mask on. And isn't that wonderful, soul winning like that sometimes? What did you just say? Let me say it clearly now. You know, you're trying really hard behind the mask. And I said, so AJ, if we were heading to heaven, I said, we go to the gates. I said, what would you tell Peter? It's not going to happen this way, but what would you tell Peter if he said, why should I let you in? He said, because I'm a good person. I said, I'm sure you are. I didn't say, wrong answer. You just failed your midterm. And oh, wait, college. Sorry. But I said, I'm sure you are a good person. I'm sure you're a good dad. I'm sure you're a good husband. I'm sure you're a good brother. I said, can I show you something for the Word of God? And I shared with him from the Word of God how he could trust Christ as Savior. And he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to plead with you. Don't listen to those that say soul winning doesn't work. I'll say it very plainly. Soul winning doesn't work for those who don't go. I found out that if I'll go soul winning, it works. And if I don't go soul winning, it doesn't work. So people a lot of times, oh, soul winning doesn't work. You know what I find out from that person? They probably don't go soul winning. Bus routes don't work. No, they don't work if you don't work them. My bus route's not working. Well, we might need to work it. Let's move on here. Number one, love God. Number two, love others. Number three, go soul winning. Number four, forgive others. I said forgive others. Powerful message by Brother Brown on Sunday night. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Next, number one, love God. Number two, love others. Number three, go soul winning. Number four, forgive others. Number five, live pure and holy. Live pure and holy. I don't understand it. God's given us today and we waste it. Why would you want to listen to that music if all you have is today? Why would you want to look at that if all you have is today? Why would you want to watch that movie if all you have is today? Why would you just want to do that that's not going to have eternal value if all you have is today? Next, honor your parents, Ephesians 6:1-2. Next, pray for others, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Why would you want to waste today? Not only should we rejoice in the day that we got saved, not only should we rejoice over today, But the third day we should rejoice in is the day we'll see Jesus in heaven. First of all, we ought to rejoice in our salvation. Second of all, we ought to rejoice in today. You see, I don't have tomorrow. Man, I made a lot of errors yesterday, and I made a lot of mistakes last week, and a couple months ago, man, I made a lot of errors, but I can't go back and change those. I can't go back, but you know what I can do? I can have a new start to the future today. I can say, today I'm going to live for God. Today I'm going to live pure. Today I'm going to live holy. Today I'm going to honor my parents. Today I'm going to pray for others. Today I'm going to love God. Today I'm going to love other people. I'm going to do something today because I can't do it yesterday, and I might not have tomorrow. If we would just live with the constant awareness that today might be our last day, we'd live today a little bit differently than maybe how we're living it. The third day is the day we see Jesus. I'm almost out of time. I'll never forget the phone call that I got 2.5 years ago. I was in staff meeting. My brother called me, and my brother said, if you want to see Mom alive, you might want to get in the car and come down here. And I walked out, and man, I was at the front desk there, and man, I just broke down, and I thought, man, I really want to see Mom. So I got in the vehicle, and I drove down South Carolina 12 hours. I said, God, help her live. Help me to make it. The next six, seven days, were probably some of the most wonderful days that I ever had with my mom. Because, see, I told her probably 1,000 times, Mom, I love you. Mom, thank you. And she'd had a stroke because her heart had stopped, and then she had a stroke. And put out of the corner of her mouth, she said, I love you too. I'm proud of you. And I thought, man, she's going to see Jesus one day. See, she was bedridden the last 3 years of her life. By the time she passed away, she had 12 different diseases and ailments. Her life was a little bit more challenging than my life and your life. But you know, she's running down streets of gold today. You know what she learned? She said, man, I don't have maybe what the college students have today. I don't have that energy. I don't have that health. But she supported missionaries. She gave to missionaries. She prayed for missionaries. She read the Word of God, reading her Bible and performing her funeral out of her Bible. I remember looking at that Bible and thinking, one day we're going to see Jesus face to face. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Give you one illustration, and I'm done. I was talking with in the service, at the end of the service, pastor asked if anybody doesn't know for sure they were saved, and asked them to raise their hand if they didn't know if they were saved, and a man raised his hand extremely high. Long story short, I went over there and witnessed to him. The whole time he was just weeping. When I finished, I said, hey, can I get your address? And I saw on the sheet that he wrote down there, and no address, just one word, homeless. He looked like he was in his late 60s. I looked at his age. He was 45 years old. He said he'd been homeless for the last year and a half. But I thought about it when he told me he was homeless. He might be homeless here, doesn't have a home, doesn't have a place to stay, but now he has an eternal home. And I ask you the question this morning, when was the last time you reveled in your salvation? When was the last time you stopped worried about what might happen today and started living out today? And then when was the last time you thought, one day I'm going to see him, and I want to make sure that my life right now is making it so that I'll be glad when I see him for how I lived? Father, I pray that you'd be with the message this morning. Lord, you've spoken to my heart again several times as I've looked at the different passages. Lord, help us to take advantage of those 3 days. Help us to treasure them. Help us to cherish them. Help us to value them. Help us to realize that you saved us. And man, help us not to sit on that salvation and not do anything. Help us to realize all we have is today. And help us to realize that we'll be glad one day when we see you face to face. We'll be glad that we did rather than wishing that we would have. I pray that you'd speak to us through, not only through the message, but through the rest of the afternoon. Help us to realize that we need to take every advantage we can to live for you. In Jesus' name.